Dustin Hornby is here.
Here we go.
Come on up, buddy.
Chairman of the board.
Welcome, sir. I'll give you a mic. You can just hold it. If it gets tough, we'll put it on a stand.
That's fine, Pat. And congratulations on your 100th, what is it, 100th podcast, 100th anniversary?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Well, congratulations, yeah. Both of you.
You can sit down. Yeah, there you go. Oh. Yeah. Take a load off.
What a wonderful audience is here today. I'm used to doing it in the studio, and that was
a
long time ago.
Yeah, we would occasionally do remote broadcasts at bowling alleys and places like that, but this is sort of reminiscent of that, in a way.
Yeah, it certainly is.
So I want to ask you what you're up to now in a second here, but the way this worked, this was before we had these nice little nifty MP3s for the most part and these systems that you'd use on a computer and you could play music that way. So we were playing these things off CDs, and Dustin had this huge collection of CDs, had one of those big filing cabinets in the room, four drawers all filled with CDs. And none of them alphabetical for the most part.
No.
He just knew where they were.
Put your microphone up, buddy. We can't hear when you're saying yes and no to Pat.
Okay.
Have you ever done this before?
So okay. How were they organized? What was the method to that?
By color.
By color.
I knew the CDs that were in there. There was about 400, 500 CDs.
Yeah,
and a lot of them were compilations.
Right.
And you could just tell the CD from the color of the CD, and I'd know where I had placed them. So I knew exactly where they were, but it's just knowing your collection.
So if Lisa said something, or I said something, or a guest said something, Dustin's mind would say, I got a song that would fit that. And he'd get it and play it so fast, it was astonishing, especially to people who came in to the show that had heard it, but they had never thought about how does that music happen. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of fun. And for those that hadn't heard it, we were together for about, '94 to '99.
Yeah.
And then that's when the show went off the air on The Buzz, 100.7 FM back then. And for those 4 or 5 years, every morning, we did our show. Now, I have, can your, is it Dave? Can
it's Dave Towers.
Can he play back something that we did, like the Hornby workout?
Can you do that, Dave?
I've got it on CD, Dave.
Oh, yeah, you have it.
Yep.
Yeah, sure okay, do. Bring it on over to him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dustin, I will want you to think about what you're doing now. Can you give us... We parted company when Lisa and I went to Como. You didn't come along, even though we tried to get you to. And so working with you informed me about how to play music on the air. And so I had a big filing cabinet full of CDs behind me, and I'd play them. But not as efficiently as you, obviously, but I wouldn't have never thought I could do it until I got to watch you work. So what have you been doing since our radio show ended?
Well, what happened is I had been offered a position right after the show to carry on with Cairo. I was not only doing the show in the morning with you at the time, I was supervising the board operators on the radio stations. And at that time, they needed a website, and I became like a content manager. Plus, I supervised, and they gave me a title, they gave me more money, that kind of thing. So I had a choice to make, either... do other things and get away from it or take that, which I did. And it was for about 9 years up to 2008 that I did that. And then I kind of...
Let me interrupt you for just a second here. Did at any point did you feel like, gee, Pat just got fired and Lisa got fired?
Yeah.
I think I'll keep working for the same people that fired my friends.
Well, isn't that funny? Because it came around in 2008. Same thing kind of happened to me. I became like a bureaucratic stooge, and all of a sudden I lost my job too.
Yeah, you sidestepped that question very well.
You really didn't answer Pat's question very well, Dustin.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, Pat, we've been in contact ever since, and all that. And that was one of those decisions that
I don't.
My heart was with you guys, no matter what, and always will be.
I know.
And anybody that knows the show knows that as well.
So you mentioned the Hornby workout. Do you continue to work out? If people who listen to the show, he would. The Hornby workout took what, 30 seconds, a minute?
Or less.
It was a couple of minutes. This particular one that I brought in, it's just to give the people here that have never heard it.
But it's not like you would work out every day. You could work out once a week, once a month. How often do you work out now?
Oh, it's about once every 2 years, Pat.
And yet, look at the shape you're in. That's a secret.
No, my upper body musculature is still in the prime of its.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, give him a hand for that.
I still have that.
That is incredible.
All right, Dave.
And
you think you can play?
This is the secret to it.
Okay, this is
by advancing the feet alternately, mm-hmm. so that there is always one foot on the ground.
All right.
In bipedal locomotion,
that's true.
Or two or more feet on the ground,
uh-huh.
in quadrupedal locomotion.
Uh-huh.
Is that the full definition, or you want me to keep going?
No, that's fine. That's the one that we need, because as you see, I have brought in a treadmill this morning.
Yeah, I noticed for that.
And we are going to do some walking, and Fifi is going to tell us the different stages of walking. First of all, what's the first thing we have to do, Fifi?
Number one, stretch before and after walking.
Which we've already taken care of.
Yeah, we sure have been stretching, haven't we?
Already taken care of.
Yeah.
So we're going to walk, and what's the next thing to do on the treadmill here, Pete?
Number two, start slowly at a comfortable pace.
At a comfortable pace.
Comfortable pace.
Just like this, Pat. Walk.
All right.
On the treadmill. Walk.
In place.
Number three, Pete, what do we do next?
Number three, maintain good posture.
Maintaining good posture.
Good posture.
Yeah. Up on the upper area of the shoulders.
Your posture's perfect.
What's next, babe? Number four.
Number four, don't forget to swing your arms.
See, Pat, swinging.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't this fun?
Yeah, okay. It is fun.
Okay, what's next, babe?
Number five, heel first, rock, and swing the foot forward.
Okay, heel first, rock, and then
this
swing the foot forward. Ow!
Boy.
It's a toe.
Trouble brewing this morning.
Helix valgus. It's the lateral deviation of the great toe.
Oh, man.
Prominence of the first metaphalangeal joint.
Oh, man.
In other words,
I hate
toe.
It when that happens. Doggone a stub toe, folks. I hope this didn't happen to you at home. Never, never exercise near hard metal objects. I guess that'd be the thing. You all right? Here,
Sounded like I was drinking pretty heavily during that show, didn't it?
Yeah. And we did that every Monday. Every Monday we had a different work, and I got hurt, and you gotta forget about doing the workout.
Didn't it always end with the catastrophe?
Always.
Always. Yeah.
Always.
So you never saw it coming, did you?
No.
You just have a short memory or what?
Well, I guess, Pat.
Yeah.
What was your assistant's name?
Fifi Bonzai.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And played by Lisa.
I should remember that, but I probably...
But we did a lot of different skits like that, and I have to give credit to one of our producers, Nate Jones, who wrote up a lot of one. We had Hornby on Romance, and we had the Time Machine. Remember the Time Machine, Pat?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You would work pretty hard on these bits, and you kind of give me a brief idea of what you were going to do, and I just, okay, go ahead and do
it. We go back into time, and I'd have already be friends with the people that I went back into time to see. There was Mahatma Gandhi, and I went and saw Orville and Wilbur Wright to try to help them fly and all that kind of stuff.
You never went back to just ordinary people to visit them?
No, never did.
Yeah, because there were more of them, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way that there's an old show called Time Tunnel.
Yes.
Those guys would always go vault, but they'd always land in the Elizabethan court or Christopher Columbus's boat or something. Never just on the street with a guy named Larry.
And do you remember the couch potato contest?
No.
I remember,
does anyone?
Remember that? Anybody remember the couch potato?
Anybody remember the couch potato?
Wow.
Yeah. Where I played an excerpt from a movie for a prize. And I brought in one little excerpt. I thought we could give him a pineapple upside down cake, Pat.
Okay, well, once you give him, hand him that. And,
it's on cut number three.
But before you play that,
it's just an excerpt from a film to see if they know what it is.
All right, okay.
Real fast.
All right, real fast?
Real fast.
Okay.
There's right and there's wrong. You got to do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
Anybody got any ideas?
I know it's John Wayne. Anybody want a shout out? They're supposed to get the movie, right?
Supposed to get the movie.
All right. Any ideas?
Beaver hat's a big clue in that.
Shout it out.
Alamo, he's correct.
Yes.
Way to go, sir.
Give that man a prize. I don't know what, but give him some kind of
prize. We'll give you a pineapple upside down cake mix, sir.
Well, one of the things, Dustin, that people to this day tell me all the time is that you performed a sort of international public service by bringing at least two nations together as you taught us the Canadian national anthem, O Canada.
Yes. I learned all the words to it because of Dustin.
Yeah.
I would never have known that song if it weren't for you.
That's right. You know all the words. And then we have the bonus of having one of the greatest male voices, singing voices of all time. It's incredible.
The passion, though, the fervor. I mean, you would actually start sweating when you'd swing into this O Canada. We had to clear the room.
And I was near the corners of the studio with the microphone way away because I knew that I was watching the level from afar, and the louder I got, it would have to be, you know.
Not to mention the spittle that would sometimes fly from your lips.
A lot of spittle.
But I do have to admit, I have become an American citizen now, too, over the last time that we left the show. And I'm proud to say I have dual nationality. Canada recognizes. The United States will say you're an American. Canada will say you're both a Canadian and American.
I'm both an American and a Martian, in my case.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happens to you now when you hear that song? Does it still stir you up?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
Dustin, this is all prelude to see if you might entertain us with a stirring performance of O Canada, the national anthem, and feel free to stand up and
sure.
Really
you bring the
yeah. We're
some
ready
music
to go. I think we're ready to go, Dave. Right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you know the words, please sing along.
Oh, Canada. Listen.
Wait. Start it over there, Dave.
Is there somebody singing?
Here's what I did, Dustin. I found a version of it, but it starts immediately. So I put in.
I thought I heard somebody singing in the
background. I put in a little snare drum. Did you get my version of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Really? Is there somebody singing on it? Shouldn't be.
Oh, okay.
So there's a snare. I put a snare drum at the beginning to give you time to hear when it. So just practice it once.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true North strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God bless our land, glorious and be free.
Thank you, Hornby.
Thank you, everybody.
My God.
Oh, boy.
That was just exquisite. Unbelievable.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Did you hurt yourself singing that?
I did.
Yeah, a little pull something?
Something back there.
Oh, man. It's so good to hear that again.
But, you know, it brings back memories. I want to thank you guys again. I mean, congratulations on this. And And, you know, one thing I do want to mention before I depart, and that is these guys deserve for the leadership in radio to make decisions about having shows like this on a national level more than some of those syndicated crap that we're hearing nowadays.
Wow. Dustin, have you been drinking?
And I'll tell you, in the 90s, there was... We were fortunate enough to be living during that time period. I'm sounding like an old man now, which I am. But we need new leadership in radio, and I think it's coming around the corner. I'm optimistic. But nowadays, the people are not as creative as we did, and sometimes the business is taking over, and it shouldn't. And I'm telling you, it's been going on gradually for the last 10, 15 years with the corporations in charge and businesses. But good luck to these guys. And is anybody brave enough and courageous out there that's in the radio business to speak up to the guys and say, we're doing these kind of shows whether you like it or not? So that's my point.
Yes, wow. Justin Harvey.
That's incredible. I never heard you go into a diatribe quite like that before. You're like a guy that you'd walk past in a park. You'd be sitting on a bench, just talking out loud like that to himself.
That's right. Like, it happens, right. Pat. Part of the Alzheimer's now.
I know what you were saying, and I thank you for saying it. And Dustin Hornby, everybody,
yes!
Our buddy.
Thank you. Pat, I did bring you some CD of music, and you can have that for future podcasts and all that. I got a list here that I'll give to you, too.
All right. Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Pat and Lisa.
Thanks, Dustin. Buddy. Thanks for making the drive over here. That was cool. That was pretty cool. It was good to hear the National Anthem of Canada again like that.
Yeah, I know.
I can remember the words to that better than our own anthem sometimes.
Yes. So.
Dustin Hornby, a gentleman and a scholar, and perhaps not even in that order. Thank you, Dustin.